Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Dodla Dairy Limited Q1 FY23 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Michelle. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 FY23 results conference call of Dodla Dairy Limited. We have with us today senior management represented by Mr. Sunil Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, CEO, and Mr. Anjan Ganguly, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for the initial comments, and then we will open the floor for question and answers. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aniruddha. This is Sunil here. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. I welcome you all to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. I hope all of you are doing well. I'm glad to announce that we have reported the highest ever quarterly revenue of 717 crores, thereby registering a 40% year-on-year revenue growth on the back of strong volumes and VAP sale numbers. Our milk procurement grew by 20% year-on-year to 14.8 lakh liters per day in the first quarter of 2023. Our average milk sales also increased by 26.2% year-on-year to 10.4 lakh liters per day. Our geographical expansion of operations and inroads into new markets are visible through growth in the numbers of our facilities and direct and indirect distribution channels. Amidst the challenging macro environment, our VAP sales surpassed the rupees 200 crores milestone, demonstrating a strong recall of Dodla's brand. The VAP sales have surged by 51.1% year-on-year to 229 crores during the first quarter of the year 2023. The VAP share of the overall dairy revenue expanded by 238 basis points year-on-year to 32.5% in the first quarter of 2023. The integration of Sri Krishna Milk is shaping up well. We look forward to enhancing our footprint in the southern Karnataka and Goa markets. We are also evaluating organic and inorganic growth opportunities that enable us and share synergies with our business model. We are looking forward to strengthening our existing presence along with penetrating new geographies. I would also like to extend my gratitude to all our stakeholders for their continued support of Dodla Dairy vision. We anticipate a small strong demand recovery in the coming quarters, coupled with an expected softness in procurement costs as we enter the flush season of milk procurement. We have a strong governance framework. Our business model is end-to-end social. We have positively impacted over 1 lakh farmers at one end of the procurement, whereas on the other end, we ensure health and nutrition to millions of consumers through our milk and VAP products. Our long-term growth engines are continuously focused on ESG practices, which is our environmental, social, and governance, and a sustainable business model with a balanced ecosystem. We are looking forward to adding value to our esteemed stakeholders through our well-thought strategies and execution. With this brief, I will now hand over to CEO of our company, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, for his comments. Thanks, sir.
Thank you so much, Sunil sir. Very good morning to all the participants. We have delivered a healthy quarter showing a growth in revenue and other parameters. Our constant push towards expanding our footprints across India is progressing well. As on 30th June 2022, we procured milk around 1.2 lakh dairy farmers daily, of which 85% are provided with a regular direct payment in bank accounts. Our direct procurement model has further strengthened, wherein we are buying almost all the milk directly from the farmers across more than 8,000 villages. As compared, resulting in cost saving and establishing a deep-rooted relationship with them. Our Orgafeed operations, wherein we have provided high quality feed to the dairy farmers to help us strengthen these relationship with them and also ensure that both parties get benefited. Orgafeed revenue surged 33.4% year-on-year to 14 crores in Q1 2023. EBITDA grew by 15% year-on-year above 1 crore in FY 2023. In terms of our presence, we continue to have third highest market presence across 12 states in India, supported by third largest procurement network, 15 processing plants with 22 lakh liters capacity, daily capacity. We currently have 114 chilling centers as on 30th June 2022. We have around 558 Dodla retail parlors. We also have a strong network, 1,700 milk and milk products distributor channel. Yeah, so
we'll start with just a little earlier.
Yeah. We aim to adopt the state-of-art dairy processing technologies which focus on automation, which will help us in reducing operational costs and increase efficiencies. We continue to strive for enhancing our footprints and brand visibility with every passing year. And we are making constant efforts to expand our geographical footprints, distribution network, strengthen the brand recognition, and improve our margins to power unmatchable growth in the industry. With that said, I would request our CFO, Ms. Anjan, to give a financial overview of this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance parameters for the first quarter of the financial year 2023. We have also submitted a detailed presentation of our financial performance on the stock exchanges. And also we have also uploaded the same on our website. Now taking a glance at the financial highlights for the first quarter ended 30th June 2022, the financial highlights for the quarter ended was the operations revenues stood at 717 crores in Q1 financial year 2023 as compared to 501 crores in Q1 financial year 2022, a robust growth of 40% year over year. The company domestic business surged by 34.6% year over year to 657 crores, whereas the international business grew exponentially to 60 crores. The EBITDA was at 44 crores in quarter 1 of the financial year 2023 as compared to 51 crores in quarter 1 of financial year 2022. Profit after tax was at 24 crores in Q1 of financial year 2023 compared to 36 crores in the same period last year. The earnings per share for the quarter 1 of financial year 2023 stood at 4 rupees per share as compared to 6.1 rupees per share in the previous year same quarter. Now talking about our operational highlights for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. Average milk procurement during quarter 1 financial year 2023 was at 14.8 lakh liters per day as compared to 12.3 lakh liters per day in Q1 of FY 2022, registering a 20% year over year growth. Average milk sales during the quarter 1 of financial year 2023 were at 10.4 lakh liters per day compared to 8.3 lakh liters per day in the same period of previous financial year, clocking a growth of 26.2% year over year. Curd sales during quarter 1 of FY 23 was at 426 metric tons per day compared to 294 metric tons per day in Q1 of FY 22, recording a strong growth of 44.8% year over year. Revenue from value-added products, including fat and fat-based products, grew by 51.1% year over year to 229 crores in Q1 of FY 23 vis-a-vis 151 crores in Q1 of FY 22. The value-added products including fat and fat-based products contribution expanded by 238 bits year over year to 32.5% of the overall dairy revenue during the Q1 of financial year 23 as compared to 30.1% of the contribution of overall dairy revenue during the same period previous financial year. That concludes our update on finance and strategy, which we believe has been a positive in most of the aspects. With that being said, we would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pranjal Garg from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Sir, my first question, thanks for the opportunity, first of all. Then my first question is, can you share some highlights on that region-wise revenue and procurement mix?
Region-wise revenue and procurement mix. Yes, sir. Yeah, Anjan will just give you the, rather what we do as the state-wise procurement and sales. Go ahead, Anjan.
So the procurement overall for Q1 FY23 for India, we had 13.78 lakh liters per day overall. So I'm taking the India business procurement, and we have around 1.2 lakh liters in Africa. So for India in the region-wise, so AP, we have around 4.8 lakh liters per day procurement, and Karnataka around 2.7 lakh liters, Tamil Nadu around 4 lakh liters per day, in Telangana around 1 lakh liters, and Maharashtra 1.4 lakh liters per day in terms of procurement.
In terms of
region, so.
And also sales, right, Garg?
And coming from the sales contribution, so overall Q1 FY23, so we have around 35% contribution of sales coming from Andhra Pradesh, 39% from Karnataka, 16% from Tamil Nadu, and Telangana around 10%. In terms of volume contribution.
Okay, sir, that's helpful. Sir, my next question is regarding, do we operate at the same EBITDA margin in all territories, or at least at the same gross margin?
Could you repeat the question, sir?
In all the states that Anjan sir has just told us about, do we operate at the same EBITDA margin in all states, or at least at the same gross margin?
See, between gross and EBITDA margins, there will be variations depending on which milk is going to where in the product mix that we have, because because each location will have a different product mix in terms of fat and SMF and what we otherwise operate. But it won't be a huge margin. There will be a fluctuation of maybe 1 to 2% in terms of the EBITDA margins.
No. See, each state has got a different price. Suppose, you know, Tamil Nadu is a different price, Karnataka is a different price. Okay.
So that were different things in pricing depending on the product mix. So the differences won't be much. It will be marginally different.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, I will get back into the queue for my further questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Bimbalkar from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the milk procurement cost. Can you call out on the what kind of milk procurement cost we had during this quarter, and any outlook on the milk procurement cost going ahead?
So I'll just give you the brief, sir, and Anjan will give you the specifics. So the procurement cost this quarter has been higher in terms of comparison with the same period last year. The quarter increases there. We have entered into the flush. Normally in the flush season, procurement cost should come down. In case it doesn't come down, then we'll have to go ahead and pass it on to the consumer. So that is the reason why we were waiting for the flush season. The rains have come. But if it doesn't come down, then we have to take a call on increasing in selling prices. Anjan will just give you the specifics of the increase in price.
So the, for the current quarter, we have a procurement cost of around 35.4 rupees per liter. So compared to in the previous quarter, we have around 34.3 rupees. And in Q1, we have around 31.6 rupees in the previous year. Mostly it is because of the COVID season in the last year, same quarter, because of which the price was a bit low, around 31.6 rupees per liter in Q1 FY22. And for the current quarter, it is 35.4 rupees per liter of milk procurement. It is a weighted average of all the states together.
Thanks. And sir, our value-added mix contribution has come.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sanjay, your voice is not audible.
Oh, is it better now?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, and the second question is on this value-added product mix. So our value-added product mix has increased materially to almost like one-third of the business. Can you give me some color with respect to what kind of margins would be making in this value-added product versus the milk business as such?
Yes, sir. So value-added products broadly for us is consists of curd and the fermented drinks of lassi and buttermilk, which we add all together in the bunch of the curd, which we look at it as fermented, and fat and other products which are there. We will give you, Anjan will give you the specifics of the percentage of the bunch and also a brief on the margin profile. Go ahead, Anjan.
So for this current quarter, so we had an overall EBITDA margin of around 6.2%. So from what we got is from OrgaFeed, we got around 10% of EBITDA margin from OrgaFeed business, around 16% coming from our overseas business. And out of the remaining India business, we made around 5% of the EBITDA margin. Around 2.6% EBITDA margin from milk and around 10% EBITDA margin for the value-added products.
Yeah.
That answers the question, Sanjay?
Yes, yes, sir. Thank you so much. And sir, on Africa business, what are the triggers which are visible in our, like, on the top line as well as on the profitability? Can you give some color?
So, the Africa business, I think the first quarter we've done, like, volume-wise, we've done well, which will sort of taper off as we go down. It's also seasonal there. But we'll give you the specifics of the numbers on volume and...
So, for Africa business, volume, we are around 1 lakh liters per day, 1 lakh 4,000 liters exactly. For the Q1 liters per day of the business, and the revenue generated was from the Africa business 60 crores with an EBITDA of 19.6 crore, sorry, gross profit of 19.6 crore and an EBITDA of 10 crores from the Africa business.
So my question is on the outlook on this business going ahead. What is the aspirational growth target which we are looking for this business, and where we should be?
So actually, compared to the last year that we were operating in the Africa business, our volumes will improve comparatively because, again, the same COVID impact not being there. And I think we will maintain the same as our CAGRs of what we were doing earlier, sir, coming back to the current number of growth CAGRs that we had because of Africa being also hit by COVID. We will be regularizing the pre-COVID numbers and having a growth rate from there of maybe 10-15% above that.
Great, great. And so on the CapEx side, what are our CapEx expectations for FY23 and 24?
Basically, BVK will be more specific, sir. What we have already taken permission from, it will be broadly, the CapEx will be in terms of two, the new ones that we are doing will be, I think BBK will explain now in details.
Yeah, you see, we have taken one feed plant actually now. We are going a new feed plant that now we already started work. So that 40 crores, so that it will take another 7-8 months by year end, you know, by March 23rd, likely now see it will commence Arga feed. And also we have taken approval for 40 crore investment in Kenya also. But you know, since Kenya, you know, elections are going on, still we have not made anything ready now. See, that may be going to delay. Otherwise, you know, other capex, you know, the regular capex is there in regular plants in India, is going on, sir.
So that will be also for a smaller sum of maybe at a sum of
regular expansion. Yeah, major big expansions only 40 crores Orgafeed and 40 crores Kenya. That's what we have projected, and the rest is only year expansion of chilling centers and regular capex in the regular plants.
Great, great. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from Incred Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I had two questions, one on the company, one on the industry. I'll start with the one on the industry first. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the news articles that some of us have been reading on lumpy skin disease. And its impact on the industry and the upcoming flush season.
So yes, sir. Today, that the thing is that it's starting to spread from Gujarat, and because I think we already had one bout of lumpy skin disease 2 years ago in Tamil Nadu, where I think at that point of time people had got it vaccinated. If lumpy skin does progress, yes, it will definitely affect milk productivity. Last time when it affected the south, it didn't affect the north that much. So this time we hope that because it's already been aware in the southern procurement centers, people are aware of it, so that if they see the symptoms, they will be able to react faster and segregate the animals, and hopefully it will be contained.
Okay, let's hope for that, sir. And when you say vaccinated the animals last time around, what we read was that the only vaccination available is goat pox vaccination, which is being given for lumpy skin disease. Is that correct?
Yeah, Covox basically was a goat vaccine which was working, but there's a shortage of that because it's allowed only as a canalized export, sorry, import. People are aware of it. So last time what happened was people didn't know how to handle lumpy skin at all. At least now they know that they can vaccinate against lumpy skin with this vaccine. It sorts of gives a protection.
Okay, so in spite of that information, there is so much damage that has happened in the
north. Because Tamil Nadu, we didn't face much of mortality of animals because they were more or less of crossbreds than they were able to take. We do not know what's happening with the north, sir.
Okay, okay, understood, sir. So secondly, on the company specific, I wanted to understand how much percentage of our own farmers from whom we procure milk, how much percentage of that would you be selling your feed to? A rough figure would be.
The feed percentage, number of farmers to the feed percentage, sir. That's what you're asking?
Yes. So if you're procuring for 100 farmers milk, how many of those use our feed?
Yeah, BBK will answer it, sir.
Yeah, now roughly about, you know, 1.2 to 1.3 lakh farmers we are getting milk daily. And now we have reached around 22,000 farmers feed directly to the farmers.
Okay, so roughly 20%.
Yeah, roughly 20-25% now just we have reached.
And with that, our feed plant capacity has now become 100%. So that's why we are expanding now.
That's second. Going for a new one, green field.
How much is the current capacity? How much are you expanding by?
Current capacity is only 1,800 to 2,000 tons. That we are already doing 2,000 tons per month. Now, you know, see the new one, we are going 12,000 tons per month capacity.
Could you repeat that figure?
Yeah, right now we have only 2,000 tons per month capacity feed plant.
Mm-hmm.
That is already running in full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And the new one we are planning to go for 12,000 tons capacity per month.
Okay, so then total capacity will be 14,000 per month, metric tons per month.
It will become, 14,000 tons per month.
Okay, that is big. Now, the reason why I ask this question is, in the new geographies that you are looking to enter, there is also another player from Kerala who is a very strong feed player who is entering the dairy segment in these areas of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. And they will always have an upper hand in the supply of feed. So do you see that as a disadvantage to your company?
No, sir, it's not a disadvantage because what happens is as and when the dairy companies give it to their own farmers, they get the advantage of payment being deducted from the feed mill. They don't have to pay for money as advances. Our service quality is far better because it is our own distribution that we do through our own chilling centers. So they can even regulate quantity. They don't have to buy one large quantity because they're buying at one time. They can buy as and much as and when they please and how much over quantity they please. So that is why almost 100% of our sales is only captive. We are not selling anything outside. So we are very confident that once we go and we have our own capacity to introduce, that it will come to us. Our farmers are more comfortable with the dairy itself because of the service, the efficiency in delivery. And we also have the advantage of not having the extra cost of
supply chain
and transport and marketing because we use the existing supply chain, which gives us a cost advantage also.
Got it, sir. Understood. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Thirul from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my question is that whatever growth that we have seen in Q1, how much that growth has came from the core market and how much from the new region?
Basically 2 to 2.5% can come from the new acquisitions, sir. Others are core market and strengthening in the core market also.
37%, 38%.
Okay, so maybe the incremental 2 to 2.5% revenue comes from the new market and 37 to 38% comes from the existing market.
Yes, core market.
Okay, and sir, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, how much milk procurement prices have gone up and have we taken any price hike to protect our margin?
Quarter-on-quarter, Anjan will give you the three, sir, from the same quarter last year to the previous quarter to current quarter. The procurement prices from last year to this quarter have gone up substantially, roughly from 31 to 35. quarter to quarter, not much, but we have translated that an increase of selling price. But the other thing is the other costs have also gone up tremendously thanks to the Ukraine war in terms of fuel, packing material, which now we have to take a consideration of whether procurement of flush season comes down. If it doesn't, we'll have to pass on to the consumers. Anjan will give you the specifics, sir.
Yeah, in terms of procurement per liter compared to last year, so there is an increase of around 11.9%. Last year, the procurement per liter was 31.6 rupees per liter. And this year, Q1, financial year 2023, Q1, so we have 35.4 rupees per liter of procurement, which is around 11.9% increase. And compared to previous quarter, where we have per liter cost is 34.3 rupees per liter, an increase of 3.2% to Q1 FY23.
And then how much price hike we have taken?
Yeah, we have already taken a price hike.
The selling price has improved on an overall basis by 6%, sir.
Okay. So do you feel within going ahead and because of this flush, you know, season, our margins will again bounce back to 9 to 10%? Or by when you expect margins to recover?
Yes, sir. We come back to those numbers, sir.
Okay. Okay. What's your point, sir? And so how is the progress in the new acquisition, Sri Krishna Mill?
Yes. Sir? Hello?
Hello. So what is the progress in the Sri Krishna Mill, sir? Yes, yes.
So Sri Krishna Mill is done well, sir. We have integrated it and we have now got a revenue. Anjan will give you specific numbers. For the first quarter, I think we have done around 10 crores worth of revenue. And we are looking at further improvement as it goes forward because it's just been 3 months since we took over. We have streamlined the process and we are very confident that it should touch for 3 to 4 times those numbers.
So we have, for the Q1, so we have reached 10 crore revenue for Sri Krishna Milk with a volume of around 22,000 liters per day. For the remaining 18 days lost in April, so we acquired it on April 13th, so 13th onwards, our weighted average was around 25,000 liters per day from Sri Krishna. So all the adjustments are being done for the current quarter. So we did the break-even. Already we reached the break-even for the Q1 in terms of EBITDA. And going forward, we'll further improve our EBITDA margins next quarter onwards.
Okay. And so this backward integration in terms of expansion in the seed side, so now that we are expanding it almost 5 times, so does it suffice the entire farmer category that we are procuring from?
Yes, sir. Their procurement is, we are increasing our procurement from the farmers and also taking care of the sales, sir. The cattle feed right now, no, sir, because as we said earlier, we are only catering to 20% and our plant is of full capacity. The new expansion, once it comes into place, should take care of 70 to 80% of our requirements, sir.
Okay, okay. And so when you say that you are the third largest, in the southern, so what is our market share particularly?
So mostly more than market share, what we are saying is because of the private sector, our spread is what we are saying. Sir, we are spread in all the places. Our market shares differ from state to state. Average should be around 7%. That's our own internal number, sir. And we look at it as private sector, it will be much larger. We are including the cooperative and bringing it down to 7%, sir.
Okay, okay. And sir, lastly, as our value-added segment have grown, revenue contribution has grown to almost 32%. So maybe next 2 to 3 years, is there any guidance to reach maybe 140% or even more than that, sir? Any chances of that?
So if you go and look at our historical CAGR, sir, whatever we've been doing at our historical CAGR of growing by 1-2% with this, normally the summer quarters are substantially larger than the other quarters, but we will grow as per our historical CAGR of 1-2% or 3% year on year, sir.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Contributed to the milk revenue, so what you're mentioning is. So always historically, if you see the market growth for value-added products is higher than what is the milk growth is. So overall, the contribution on a steady state level around 1-2% is what we try to improve.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. So I just wanted to know, when did we actually increase the prices? So we said that we have increased it by 6%. So when did we took this price hike?
We started it during the mid of May, sir, and we kept increasing different locations, yes. Different products. We started with May, and we have taken even as late as end of June also in certain areas we have corrected the prices. The impact of all that will start coming in from in the second quarter onwards.
So by so do we anticipate that by the end of second quarter we will be at the exit rate of around that 10% margin, whatever we have guided for?
Closer to those, sir. It might be less by 10%, 15% from the 10% what you're talking about, sir.
Right, but it could definitely improve from here on, whatever we showed in the quarter.
Definitely. Because the question was, as we said earlier, sir, it was not only the milk procurement price that we have been able to compensate the selling price that we have taken up as a hike, but also the packaging material all related to oil which has shot up is what which we were thinking will get covered or not, and we're waiting for the flush. If it doesn't happen, we'll have to continue with the price increases to recover the margin, sir.
Yeah, definitely. My second question was with respect to the value-added products. So besides the curd and some of the other milk products, so are there any plans to introduce new products in the value-added segment? That's it.
Not as new products. So what we have itself, the variants and how we distribute them is increasing. So broadly, we have the frozen in which we have ice cream. We have other items like paneer, flavored milk, Indian sweets as a bunch of it, and ghee. So I think in that, if you remove the ghee, will be not almost muted because we're concentrating more on the liquid and other products which consume more of the surplus fat that we have. So we'll be concentrating on these products moving up. I think comparatively we have moved up by 1-2% also in these products as a volume. If we were, I think previous years we were at 4% we have become 1% increase in ghee and 1% increase in the other products as a group. So that is also increasing. We have, in those SKUs we keep adding, sir. But a category wise, new category, not yet, sir. No new category.
Right. Okay. And my last question is on the value-added products again. So we have, let's say we give the indication about how much curd we have sold. So is that the largest value-added product do we have? And what could be the, let's say, contribution of other value-added products? Let's say the flavored milk, ice cream, paneer and other things.
In terms of contribution as a revenue model, it's 6% by value, sir, and obviously curd is the balance in the value-added segment. I'll ask Anjan to go into the specifics of it.
So in terms of value-added products, so the curd contribution was around 27%. Out of 32%, 26% was coming from curd, remaining 6% was coming from the remaining value-added products.
Okay.
And to the volumes around now, we have buttermilk around 30,000, curd around 366,000, ice cream around 6,000 liters, lassi around 15,000 liters, paneer around 1,500 kgs, flavored milk again highest contributor of around 15,000 liters, and remaining sweets are around 600 to 700 kgs of sweets are normally that comes under the bag in terms of 15 lakh LPD that we reached. So this is the breakup.
Right, and I would presume that the margins in curd would be comparatively lower than the other value-added products, right? So is there any specific focus that we have on increasing the share of other value-added products? So besides curd, so the other value-added products also, let's say, increase it at a higher rate.
We keep pushing for them, sir, but unfortunately, out of these value-added products, lassi, buttermilk, ice cream becomes a seasonal product. But that drops during seasonality, so it's only the season uptake and then off-season they keep coming down and moving forward. We are pushing products like paneer, flavored milk and others. Flavored milk was doing well and was growing well, but again GSP came in at 12%. So sort of the pricing went up for the consumer point of view. It was muted, but I think current year it will again come back to good growth levels.
Okay, fair enough. And just one last question. So there has been a significant jump on the top line revenues, even on a quarter-on-quarter basis, right? So do you think that this is a new normal, or is it like there is some kind of seasonality in this in the summer months?
Yeah. Basically, the seasonality does come in, so that's why we have a substantial jump. But we're very confident that if we take our CAGRs of 15% CAGRs that we were continuing to grow as the past historical before COVID. After normalizing for COVID numbers, we will still continue to have a 20-25% increase in from our CAGR value, sir, in top line.
Right, sir. Sure. So that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Tulshyan from Newmark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Anjan, could you help me with the selling price per liter data for this quarter?
Selling price per liter, Anjan will just give you, sir, Vivek, sir, 1 minute, sir.
Yeah, so for around overall 50.9 rupees was the selling price per liter for this quarter. And that is a net realization, not selling price. So it is a net realization at a company level, 50.9 rupees per liter of sales, out of which milk contributed around 49 rupees. And curd remaining weighted average value-added products, around 126 rupees contribution came from in terms of per liter or per kg from value-added products, and curd around 48.2 rupees from the curd. So overall weighted average was 50.9 rupees per liter compared to 48.2 rupees in the previous year same quarter.
And what was that for last quarter, the overall contribution?
Q1 48.2 per, 2 rupees per liter, and last quarter it is 50.2 rupees.
Okay. And
this quarter.
Understood. And the other question is on the on other expenses, which has gone up quite a bit for this quarter. Would this be largely linked to fuel price increase and packaging cost increases?
Arjun will take the response.
Hi Vivek, this is Anjan again.
Yeah,
the major increase in the cost coming from the packing materials, almost in terms of packing material cost, last year we have around 4.3% of the packing material, around 4%, and this year we have around 5% is the overall cost of the packing material cost against revenue. And the remaining cost, my overall other expenses increased by around 35%. So the majority of the cost coming from the carriage outwards, right, and inward cost, and power and fuel. So there are certain regions we have also the power rate increases happened in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, because of which the power and fuel cost gone up by almost 25% compared to Q1 of last year. And the rates and taxes, as we are aware, so the flavored milk impact was there. Apart from that, everywhere there is, there is a certain impact. So the major contribution of the increase in the other expenses coming from packing materials and the fuel increase.
Understood. And the last question was on procurement price. So you mentioned first quarter, obviously the prices were higher compared to last year, but in July and right now, are you seeing these prices softening or these prices continue to remain the at last quarter level?
I'll pass down to Mr. BDK.
So the prices softening, the weather is just raining now. The specifics will be given by BDK more in terms of what we anticipate region wise. But I think the prices will not soften dramatically. So we have to wait and watch till maybe another 10 days when we'll know. But if not, then we'll take a price increase. So BVK will just talk to you about the prices.
Yeah, still, you know, the prices are still in the higher side only. And last 10-15 days, you know, everywhere, you know, heavy rains. And maybe, you know, we are expecting that, you know, prices will now very soon, you know, should begin to soften. So, or otherwise, you know, we'll have to take a price hike in the sell side.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you and all the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankit Shah from White Equity Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Regarding the price increase that are continuing in July, we have so far not taken a price hike. Now, suppose if we take a staggered price hike, etc., should it continue to have an impact on our margins for the coming quarter?
No, we gradually started taking the price hike. So, as we discussed earlier in the call, so last year we started taking the price hike. In the last January, we took one price hike. Recently, we took one price hike. But slowly and gradually, we are taking these price hikes in line with increase in procurement prices and other costs.
So the margins, yes,
see, month on month it will improve. If you see from April to May to June, June to July, you know, month on month, you know, see the margins are improving because, you know, so based on, you know, see the procurement prices, we have keep on correcting. So see, it will improve.
Okay. Sir, next, can you share percentage contribution of key value-added products, either percentage of value-added products or percentage of overall revenue?
Yeah. So coming to the overall value-added products was 32.5%, out of which 26 to 27% is coming from dahi, that is curd, and remaining 6 to 7% are coming from remaining value-added products. Out of the remaining value-added products also, out of this 6 to 7%, flavored milk is the highest contributor, followed by buttermilk and paneer, ice cream, around 6,000 kgs of ice cream, and sweets. Flavored milk is the highest contributor with 15,000 liters, let's say around 15,000 liters. And the remaining value-added products are a small contribution. Ghee, we sold around 3,500 liters of ghee and 200 tons of butter this quarter.
Right. Can you share percentage contribution of flavored milk?
It should be around 2%. It should be around 1%. So we have around 15 lakh liters per day, and we sold 15,000 liters. So 1% contribution comes from flavored milk.
Okay. Okay. On the feed plant, the new plant that is coming up of 12,000 tons, what could be the peak revenues whenever we hit it?
Peak revenue will be around 180 crores once we reach the full potential at 80% capacity utilization.
Right. And, you know, what should be the trajectory here in terms of the growth numbers for, let's say, next 2-3 years? The question is more coming from, you know, we are at peak capacity utilization in the current plant. So, you know, assuming that there is more demand, you know, is there a pent-up demand sort of a scenario where new plants will immediately show growth?
So what I think, based on what we've seen with when we took the feed from zero to what we have reached our current capacity of 1,800 tons of per month of sale, I think we will be able to increase on our entire another 12,000 tons, we will be increasing that on 30% of capacity year on year. So in another 3 to 4 years, we will reach that capacity of what we have installed for the new plant.
Okay, okay. So one more is, so this we have this one single plant at one location. Would it, you know, will we have to incur a large transportation cost to transport the output across, you know, 5-6 key states wherever we are supplying?
So we have taken a call of putting it, this plant is coming up in Chittoor, which is closer to the raw material supply of the ingredients that we need. And also our majority of our sales other than Maharashtra, which will be further away between Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Andhra, at the center point for also.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pranjal Garg from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just have one question. You have highlighted that we will be doing CapEx in Kenya for growing our business there.
Mr. Garg, we cannot hear you properly. Could you please
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. I have just one question, sir. As you have highlighted that we will be doing some CapEx in Kenya to grow our business in Africa. But as far as I can recall, in one of the earlier calls, the company has highlighted that you don't want to grow the Africa business further from 6-7% of the total business. So what has changed in the market that is attracting the management's attention to go there?
It's not growing, sir. The 6-7% of the overall means that we will continue to grow there also, sir. So between two countries that we have is Uganda manufacturing in Kenya, we do not want at any point of time to get some disruption in sales in Kenya because of the countries and border disputes. So to mitigate that is what we are putting up this plant there. So it will mitigate the risk of the Africa business of cross-border between Uganda and Kenya.
Okay. And sir, what can be the guidance for the revenue contribution from Africa business in the long term? Shall we assume it below 10%?
It will be the long term. So it depends on our India growth, but we'll be there from the 6%-10%. Even Africa will continue to grow the same CAGRs of 10%-15%. It continues to grow there, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Shah from White Equity Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking the follow-up. Of course, this Africa business, are we hedged on the currency, or how are we going about it?
So currency hedging, sir, between Uganda and Kenya or India, we are doing everything on dollar basis, sir, because Uganda is a freely traded currency for dollar. So whatever money that we make for the month is all converted to dollar. And when there is a buildup of money that is transferred to our holdco in Singapore is where we hold the surplus money, sir.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And sir, from a 3-5-year perspective, let's say on the base of FY23, what could be the annual revenue growth numbers for us?
Earlier, our revenue growth had been at a CAGR of almost 15%-17% of CAGR growth, sir, annual revenue CAGR growth. I think we'll be pumping it up a little bit if an acquisition comes along the way. So we were looking at between that 20% kind of annual CAGR growth.
Okay. So we are looking at 15%-17% organic revenue growth plus acquisitions, if any.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thanks for taking my question. I just heard that you said Africa, the growth rates will be similar to India. I just wanted to understand here, sir, that India, we have the levers of distribution expansion, milk procurement expansion into adjoining area states. I would assume Uganda, Kenya, we would have already exhausted those opportunities largely, right? So how is the growth rates going to be similar to India?
Because in Uganda and Kenya, we are still very small in market share. So we have not even got the sizable market share. Procurement-wise, in Uganda, there is still a lot available. Kenya, if we enter into the new plant, there's a lot more available. Our market shares are not substantially large in Uganda and Kenya. Therefore, there is headroom for growth. We are only cautious in keeping the growth in a consistent manner rather than trying to push an aggressive growth.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much, everyone, and for taking your time to ask us whatever questions you require. If anything else that you guys need, you can always reach out to CFO Anjan. I think his email ID is on the portal and the website, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Thank you again so much for coming out of the call.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.